There we go. Issue 36 of Dazzler.
Issue 36. This is
the moment.
A highly
anticipated moment.
I've been waiting for this one.
This might be recency bias, but this is one of the most unique villains I can recall in a comic.
I have been waiting for this one.
Not necessarily a good thing, but definitely one of the single most unique villains I've ever seen before.
I genuinely don't understand how this villain was not created for Dazzler and is a pre-existing Marvel character.
What was it? When?
I don't know.
Who?
Let's look this up.
Who? Yeah, we have to take a moment to look this up, because that seems insane to me, because
it truly does.
It's not much of a spoiler, but this is it's pretty open and shut. He doesn't get another appearance, I wouldn't think, because it kind of
not in this series.
Yeah, it kind of starts and ends his arc like super cleanly at the end of this one.
I think he does appear again, but I think he's like a different guy. I don't know. For those of you who don't know who we're talking about, who haven't read Dazzler issue 36, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, we're talking about the Tatter Medallion.
Isn't it Tatter Demalion?
Tatter Demalion.
I keep getting that mixed up too, just because the name is so...
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah, and it's an actual word.
Apparently. Yeah, and apparently he appeared in the Mojo Hulu series.
What?
Apparently.
Wait, when was this?
I don't know.
Well, you mean the MODOK? The MODOK series?
Yeah, MODOK, sorry.
Okay, I might have to go rewatch that, because I don't remember him being in that at all. Then again,
he also appeared in Mojo World, and I read Mojo World and MODOK back to back and got myself confused.
What the hell?
Tatter Demalion was created by Jerry Conway and Tom Sutton in a 1973 issue of Werewolf by Night.
Okay.
So, sure. Also, he's a different character then, because this is a character named Arnold Paffenroth. And the character we've run into today is not one Arnold Paffenroth.
Okay. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Although he is listed as appearing in Dazzler issue 36. So... I don't know what happened, if there's two Tatter Demalions, if editorial got really confused because this character is so bad.
I mean, according to Marvel, he has another alias, which is Michael Wyatt, and I think that's the version we get.
That's the version we saw. We saw Michael Wyatt.
But I mean, it says it's an alias. Like it, so it's him?
So he's not Michael Wyatt?
No, like he is Michael Wyatt, but his name is actually Arnold Paffenroth.
So he's like the Joker. Nobody knows his name. He's very deep and complex.
If it has to be one way, I prefer it be multiple choice. I guess.
I would also like to point out that he appears, let me see this. Yep. Most recently in an issue of Savage Avengers in April of 2021.
Why? It's so okay. We have to start this one.
Are we going to become a Tatter Medallion, Tatter Demalion podcast?
We might have to dive deep into this guy, because there's a lot here. I'm RJ, or maybe I'm so frazzled right now. Maybe I'm Seth Green. I don't know. It doesn't matter though.
And I'm Matt, and we're here to talk about Dazzler, issue 36, this one titled The Human Touch, by Linda Grant as our writer, our one issue fill-in special guest writer, Linda Grant.
Thank you, Linda, because this one...
Pencils, and I will say, not great pencils, I don't love this art, by Jeff Isherwood, inked by Mike Gustavich with an ink assist by Joe Rubenstein. Colors by Petra Scatesi as Her Usual, and Letters by Diana Elbers.
This one,
sure.
Yeah, I can't. This one starts with a bang. We get Tattered Damalion on the first page.
Oh, immediately. And I've been waiting so long. This is one of the issues from my initial read of Dazzler that stands out in my mind. It's incredible.
We get a shot of a singer. Who she is really doesn't matter. She's putting on her makeup. She's about to perform.
At Riley's Ace of Clubs.
Mm-hmm. Looking at herself in the mirror. She only gets one panel alone before she stares in and she sees a horrifying masked figure, like a scarf around his face. Just creepy, creepy serial.
Let's call it like it is. He's a hobo.
Yeah, creepy serial killer top hat. He's ragged. He is, as his name suggests, Tattered Damalion. Looking up the definition, shabby, rough looking, derelict.
Cool thing to name yourself after.
Yeah, he is that guy, and he touches something on her desk and sets it ablaze. So right away,
what
it's like,
is
okay.
It? Oh, it's her wig.
Yeah, it's like he's got a bad. You don't want to get touched by this guy. He lets you know that right away, and she's clearly freaked out. And he's already talking about vengeance. Vengeance for what? We don't know.
He talks like a crazy person too.
Yeah.
Like, just his cadence is out of control weird.
We have no idea what his vendetta is about. We just know he has one. Because he starts screaming at this poor woman who's getting ready to go on stage. And she is equal parts horrified and confused.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. She was not expecting this.
This is the first page.
Save yourself. Leave this club, this city, now and never return. The decision is yours, but vengeance is Tattered Damalion's.
For what? Against whom? There's many questions that are left unanswered.
I think this issue wraps up and we're not quite sure why he was seeking vengeance. Like, we get a motivation, but not really vengeance.
I'm left with more questions at the end of this issue.
It's insane.
Yes,
I love this issue so much.
That is true.
This is a gem. This one that isn't just fun to talk about. This one is fun to read, mostly because it makes little to no sense and happens at a rapid fire. It makes little no sense so fast.
I like to use the word wild, but there's no other word. This is a wild one.
It is wild. It's out of control. We'll get into it as we go, but characters are popping up in places that don't make no sense. Like the plot just wraps up at the end. I love this issue so much.
Man. But I mean that's the wrap up of the first page. Just the first page. Next page, it's just
hard cut.
Daytime. Yeah. Daytime.
Well, yeah, I guess not that hard to cut because we're still at Riley's Ace of Clubs.
Yeah, but there's no crime scene tape. There's no like a security out front. Something really bizarre seems like just happened last night.
Seems like it.
But there's no precaution taken the next day to prevent anything from happening again. But that's neither here nor there.
Nope.
We cut to our girl Dazzler in there. She's
well,
been aged.
Is she Dazzler or is she Dolores Rudolph?
I was thinking that maybe that was someone else at first because nope. Dolores Rudolph does look 10 to 15 years older than the Dazzler that we're used to seeing. I think it may
yeah,
just
and
be
has
because of the
real,
art switch.
Like a much more cropped haircut than even short hair Dazzler had.
Yeah. I mean, even her jawline or physical features look a little bit more mature than usual.
Yeah. But everything about it. This is what I'm saying. Like the pencils, I don't want to like trash on Jeff Isherwood's work because it's not like bad comic book art.
Yeah,
but
she just
everybody
looks very...
just looks a little off model.
Yeah, she just looks very different compared to what we're accustomed to seeing.
But anyway, she introduces herself as Dolores Rudolph, a alias that lasts all of exactly one panel.
Perfect.
He's immediately
love that.
The manager, owner, I don't know who he is, Rick Conti, immediately just goes, "No, I know who you are. You're Dazzler. I've seen you in the paper."
I like this guy. I like Rick.
He's
He's an all right
clearly a
dude.
sleaze bag, but he kind of knows he's a sleaze bag.
Yeah, he leans into it. He's not like overly pushy or overly gross. He's just kind
It's a
of
little gross.
he's just a lot. He's a
I
lot.
mean, but you have to know you're a sleaze bag when your aesthetic is deep V with hairy chest and gold chain just hanging out on your chest hair with a pencil mustache and slicked back hair.
He has buttoned up two buttons, two of his bottom buttons. The rest, he's just like, yeah, I don't need the rest. What are the rest of these for? He went to his tailor. He's like, hey, get these removed. I don't need these.
If I have these buttons, I can't show off my sweet, sweet sternum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how will they see my happy trail if I wear the buttons?
Quite a look. Just, he looks like what you expect, like, a bad guy in Serpico to look like.
Yeah, that's an apt description of this guy. Yeah.
But yeah, and also his neck turns. Okay, maybe Jeff Isherwood's work isn't the best here. His neck is weird in that bottom left panel.
It's rough. It's rough. There's a couple swings of the neck in this issue
Yeah,
that were
it's true.
rushed. It's they seemed rushed.
But anyway, Dazzler comes in for an audition to a man who knows who she is, and she's led up on stage and introduced to Dolores, or nope, she's Dolores, sorry. She's introduced to Julia. Got my names confused. Julia is instantly a b
Julia's a little chilly. I mean, she wasn't.
but not Chili Storm.
Yeah, unfortunately. She's not in the mood to play any disco music. She's like, okay, can you play I'll Be Seeing You instead? It's like, oh, okay. This guy, when she said, I'll play, can you play I'll Be Seeing You? And he said, oh, Torch Song, great, Break My Heart. I was like, wait, how old is this guy? Because I looked up, I was like, because I had no idea what it meant to say like a torch song. It's one of those things that they used to say when you're, I guess, like a way of saying you're leaving the light on for someone.
Oh, is
So
that what that meant? I just
you're.
assumed there was like a 1940s band like The Torch or something.
No. It was an old expression that they would say to like leave the light on for somebody that you're waiting for them to come back.
Sure.
But like it was last used in, like you were thinking, like the 40s and 50s. So this is, you're in the mid 80s. It's like, damn, was that the expression people were still saying? Not really.
But I mean, they make it clear that they're playing like 40s lounge acts.
Sure, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what this club is. This club is questionable to me, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little bit more of a, probably draws an older crowd, but she sings the song. She doesn't need to go all the way through it. She's
No,
an
she gets
instant
two
hit.
lines in.
Yeah. Yeah. He loves her. He's like, okay, you're booked. Come back. Your first show's tonight. And Jan,
Julia.
Julia, my bad. Julia's not plussed.
Not happy about this.
Yeah.
But she's also not happy because there hasn't been a showtime for a few days because apparently singers keep running away, as we saw the night before.
Curious little coincidence
Very.
there.
So then here's my question. Rick Conti hands Allie just a stack of cash and says, buy something pretty for the show tonight. And she turns him down and says, I can't take your money until I've earned it. It's my policy. Since when, Allie? Since when is that your policy?
Don't you?
Since is it is that your policy since the last time Harry loaned you a ton of money up front?
Don't you have some rent back pay that you need to, you that could come in useful for?
I mean, of course it can come in useful. I'm just saying that hasn't been her policy ever. She's asked for money before gigs so many times.
I don't know. Well, maybe what's his name really did a number on her. Not Lancelot, but
Roman?
Roman, with all of his gifts and stuff, and she's just like,
Maybe, maybe.
I'm not about it anymore. I don't like the feeling of feeling indebted to guys like this anymore.
Fair. I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
She walks out and sees a poster with Julia's face on it and realizes that she's some old washed-up movie star that's now playing piano in a lounge club.
Yep. Ah, that's where I remember her from. Julia Walker. Yeah.
Then her ride pulls up and hey, it's Janet McGinty.
Hey, Janet, you have brown hair now. That's cool, I guess.
And you look just like a different human entirely.
Yeah, there was a swing in this issue.
Sure, sure. I think it's Janet's last appearance anyway, so Jeff Isherwood didn't do much research. He was like, that. No one cares.
Whatever. Yeah. We can give her some new friends later.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. Who cares?
Quickly, things pick up and get bizarre with no explanation.
Yeah, we're like real calm. Real calm. Janet and Allie are just talking, chatting, gabbing away as they're driving through downtown L.A. And then they stop at a red light. And a manhole cover behind them lifts up. And, hey, it's Tatterdemalion.
How does he know?
I don't know.
Does he have like cosmic awareness? Is he like Bishop where he knows where he is at all times? He just like
I love
knows
it
what
so
time
much.
It is. It's incredible. This guy's timing. And he knew somehow that she was auditioning and she got the job.
I was
going to
say, he never saw her. We like, there wasn't like a quick clip, a quick cutaway of a shadowy figure watching the audition or anything.
The levels of clairvoyance of this guy.
He's never seen Allie before. He's popping out behind a manhole right at a red light.
Also, manholes, very heavy covers.
Oh, yeah.
And he just
kind
of slides it off.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Without melting it. So I guess he can also control his melting powers.
I was going to say, I don't know what's going on with these melty powers.
It's, yeah. But, I mean, like you mentioned, he comes up and he touches both back tires.
Both back tires.
So this dude
sizzles them.
Yeah, this dude's also pretty big. But, I mean, we don't know until another panel. This causes a blowout. Both tires.
Both tires. The back tires just blow out.
Yeah. Sends Janet's car careening into some shrubbery of someone's yard. They apparently don't notice.
No. They just think the two tires blew out at once.
Yeah.
And fine. And because this is the 80s and they don't have cell phones, Janet says she's going to go call AAA and goes to find a phone somewhere and asks Allie to stay by the car. And here is where Tatterdemalion strikes.
It's broad daylight, so it's, you wouldn't think that something like this would happen.
No. I mean, I get why Allie left her guard down.
Yeah, but also, how does this happen with no one to notice? They're like
in the middle
middle
of this suburban neighborhood.
Yeah, there's no one out. There's apparently no one home. No one heard these two tires explode.
And
no
this
one
car
heard
just go careening through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Somebody was trimming trees in my neighborhood a couple weeks ago, and every neighbor went out to see what was going on. Like, there's no way this car is not exploding down the street and nobody's coming outside to see what's happening.
Yeah. And on top of that, even if this happened quick, I mean, this next part had to take some time because he has time to abduct her in... I don't even know how to describe this.
I love it. I love it so much. I love Tatterdemalion. I love that he has taken his homeless guy rags and turned and weaponized them. So what he does is he takes off his hat, which is apparently always ready for the occasion, soaked in chloroform, and just smothers Allie's face with it.
Wow.
Then he just hoists Allie over his shoulder and heads back to the sewers.
He walks like across an intersection.
So here's the thing. I don't know much about chloroform, having never chloroformed anybody before, which is fine. I'm happy to not know this. But what's the range on chloroform? Like, if his hat is soaked in chloroform all the time, would he not be a little woozy at least?
I feel like it's enough to give you a headache. At least the fumes would give you a headache. I mean,
like
even
6 inches from his nose.
Even though he has that, you know, that scarf around his face, you got to get some kind of contact high from it.
You'd think so. I mean, I know whenever you see chloroform used in media, it's always like directly smothering their face.
Yeah.
But there's got to be some range on it, right? To have some effect.
But I mean, maybe this is also the reason why he always feels the need to narrate exactly what he's doing out loud and shout it,
I do
because
love he sneaks up on Allie, and I want to keep in mind these are all exclamation points. This isn't an all exclamation point issue like the Comic-Con one, but Tatterdemalion speaks in a lot of exclamation points.
it's
And
close.
as he's sneaking up, he just is screaming, "You are overconfident, woman. As surely as the chloroform in my grime-spattered hat renders you unconscious, so shall you learn the lessons of corruption in Tatterdemalion's domain."
What are the last thoughts going through Allison's head as she loses consciousness with a what has to be the smelliest hat being just pressed against her face and a madman screaming behind her? Tatter Medallion's domain.
I love that he calls it his grime-spattered hat.
Disgusting.
That's just soaked in chloroform.
That's.
It has to be soaked in chloroform all the time. Like, he didn't. It's gotta be at the ready, right?
Foul, just gross. And I mean, it has to like dry out occasionally too, so you know he's got to like keep re-soaking it.
Oh, of course. He's gotta have, like, just a barrel of chloroform down the sewers.
Just gross.
Everything about this is fantastic.
Yeah, Allison comes too quickly in the
Yeah,
sewer.
I do like her first word when she sees him. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Allie just sees him posing over her. I don't know how long he's been standing in the tableau waiting for her to wake up.
I hope so. I hope he was standing in that Othello stance
He
for
really is.
just 15, 20 minutes.
And she just says, "Uh-oh." And he screams at her, "This is my third and last warning."
All right, so he's clearly nuts.
No, yeah, he's just insane.
Because he thinks she's the same person that he's been, the same w woman he's been chasing off the stage of the
We should
spade
be
club.
clear because I don't think we described her at the beginning, other than being not Allie. She had a different complexion, much more olive skin, and just dark hair, like straight up black hair, looked nothing like Allie. It's not like they kind of look similar, and this is an easy mistake to make.
It's got to be the effects of the chloroform. This
It has
long
to be.
this these are the long-term effects of wearing a chloroform soaked hat. Just everyone starts to look the same to you.
Even if it's not like a mental thing, maybe there's just like an odor waves coming off of it, and you can't see through the haze of chloroform.
At this point, Janet's lucky that she didn't get abducted. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's
Because it's nuts.
yeah. What are the odds that he grabbed the right one if he can't see faces?
Man, there's like I mentioned, there's so many more questions by the time we get to the end of this than we had at the beginning.
I love this issue so much. I cannot say it enough.
Yeah, so dude lunges at her because I guess she's just like, well, what is happening?
Touches
And
the sleeve of her mauve pants, like one piece pantsuit. And
ow, that hurts.
starts
Yeah.
sizzling a little bit.
Yeah, set your clothes on fire.
"Save yourself. Leave this city and abandon the vile Ace of Clubs now and never return. The decision is yours." And Allie just cuts him off. "Wait, you mean Riley's Ace of Clubs? Like, what are you even talking about? I don't know what's happening. Like, this is very confusing to me."
Her reactions are so just reasonable. Like,
"Abandon the Ace of Clubs. Ace of Clubs, what is this about? Like, I have no idea what you're talking about,
I'm
man."
not even mad at her for not running right away. Like,
No.
I'm like, yeah, that's yeah.
The confusion takes over, and I get it.
I feel like you deserve some answers too, Allison. Like, I understand that you didn't run away right away. Like, I would understand, like, that would have been the smart thing to do, but still, it's like, hold on. I have questions. I have some
It's
questions.
fantastic.
She gets no answers to any of her
No,
questions.
no, no, no. He just starts monologuing again,
He
talking
launches.
about how he sees so much wrong, but I will make it right. And at this point, she takes off. I like his reaction too. She starts running and says, and he just goes, eh?
And picks up a pipe.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. Picks up a pipe, doesn't chase her, just lobs it down the sewer.
Yes.
And misses by a mile.
Unhinged.
Just like, I can't tell if he was aiming for her or if it was a warning pipe. Like, I don't know what's happening.
I like that warning pipe.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening because he misses her by a good 10 feet. It goes hurling over her.
She uses the sound, turns to blast him in the eyes, dazzling him. And his response is, my eyes, you tricked me.
Tricked you?
That is not a trick.
I do like his apparent power to just create echoes down the corridor of the sewers, because then you just see big red text that just says, you'll pay for your transgressions.
This dude is wild. And we get a page of like a classic 80s or 90s slasher film.
Oh, yeah.
Allison running. And she turns around. Oh, what a swell party this is, eh?
Yeah, he's just at the next corner like a Scooby-Doo villain.
Yeah, he's cut her off somehow.
Let's be honest. He is a Scooby-Doo villain.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks the part.
He does.
Yeah,
he's just classic Scooby-Doo.
You can hear the zoinks and all the spinning wheels as the characters run away.
The next panel, and I get she was abducted, so this isn't her fault, but we get a close-up of her feet as she's running away, and this is when I realized she's been running through these sewer puddles in open-toed shoes, and that is gross.
It's almost as bad as what happens next, where she falls in the sewer in a puddle. Just,
I do love it that she screams, help, he's got me. And then her internal monologue is just, oh, a hose. I'm just panicking. She's like tripped over a random hose in the sewer.
She's got rat down her cleavage,
mm-hmm.
gets up, runs a few more paces.
With water dripping off her chin.
It's
gross.
It's nasty. She's going to need a couple shots after this.
Oh, it is disgusting.
It's pretty foul. She turns a corner.
We get another very confusing scene. Who's this guy?
Some dude in a red cap.
Who's this? Who is this guy?
Just on a ladder.
Hey. Just coming down into the sewer.
Hey,
just
you.
Mid-descent.
Hey, you. What are you doing down here? You look like the devil's on your tail.
Not the devil, just that guy. And the guy turns the corner and just doesn't see Tatter Medallion there, which is confusing. I don't know who this guy is, why he was descending into the sewer, but Allie climbs up and is immediately hit on by two randos in a pickup truck.
And we don't get an explanation of who the guy in the red cap was, who was casually taking a stroll in the sewer.
It's out of control. It's so weird. The manhole's already off. She resurfaces, and these two guys just start hitting on her.
They're not AAA workers. We don't know what they're doing. One of them is just sitting in the back of his bright yellow flatbed.
Yep. Oh, mama, your little boy just had a vision. What?
A covered model? Yeah.
Hey, babe, want a good time? They're just catcalling this woman emerging from the sewer.
You got to be pretty desperate because she is foul right now. You can see the like brown gray turds on her jacket or on her like onesie uniform, and she's got a reek.
It's insane. This whole scene is out of control.
Hey, baby, I'll clean you up. Just nasty, man. Moments later, I guess it was the guy from the AAA, because the guy does have a red cap and he's walking back to the pickup truck. So maybe it was him. But why was he going?
Why was he going to the sewer if it is him?
Because, yeah, what's her name? Had no clue.
I don't know.
She didn't send him down there.
No.
When she comes back up, she's like, Allie, where have you been? Janet's just waiting there by her car.
So weird.
So this dude from AAA hooks up her car, and then he's like, "Oh, hey, the manhole cover's open. Let me go down in the sewer real quick. I'll be right back for you, lady." And I guess finds Allison. It's this one's wild. And
It's so bizarre.
Tatter Demalion is just in the bush now. He's
He
just in the
does have
bush.
my favorite line of the issue right here, though, where Janet says, where Janet asked where Da Allie was, and she was like, "I had a bad run-in with a bum." And Janet just says, like, "What? Well, I guess you could fill me in later. Let's get in the truck before it leaves. We're running out of time, and you've got a show to do tonight." And Tatter Medallion, to nobody, just says, "No. Tatter Medallion has a show to undo tonight." Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, he laughs maniacally out loud from a bush, and I kind of wanted the
But I like
guys.
that he's twisting Janet's words, like, from to nobody. He's just telling zingers.
And just in the most corny way imaginable too. I was hoping that the two guys waiting by the pickup truck would see him and be like, "Hey, look at this guy," and just start a conversation with him. Maybe he would have set their car on fire or something.
So weird.
Man, this one is weird. Why don't we
What's up with
take
this burning touch? It just turns on and off. Like, do his hobo gloves conduct fire? Like, his hat was chloroformed. And we'll get to the scarf in a minute.
Oh
What's
God, the
going on with the
scarf.
touch? What's going on with the touch? I don't get it.
The touch. I guess he activates it. Otherwise, he would just be setting fire to shrubbery and everything.
Manhole covers melting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess he has to eat somehow. Oh man, I don't. This dude is incredible.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Incredible. All right, why don't we take a quick break, hop back in, and we'll finish the second half of this. Right after, yeah, he's just gazing from this bush.
So good. It's so good. Then we cut to somewhere on Rodeo Drive.
It's just 2 hours later.
2 hours later.
Just 2 hours later. This is a quick change,
She's
and
got a show tonight and she needed an outfit, so she got a silver lamé dress. It wasn't exactly what she wanted, but for her debut, it'll have to do.
needed to. I hope she got some shots in that time. I hope she got like sprayed down in like one of those, like the decontamination chambers you see in like the science fiction movies.
She also looks 50 years old.
Yeah, I can't get over how much older she looks in here, and she runs into Julia and treats her like an old woman, but they look like contemporaries.
They
They
do look like contemporaries.
both look like they're the same age group.
Here we hit the boring part of the issue where we get a whole bunch of exposition for things that were probably needed way earlier in this issue.
Julia makes amends.
Yeah, Julia says that she tends to hate younger women, which, okay, I guess that's your cross to bear. But talks about how she and her partner, Michael Wyatt, were a dance duo that, were in movies, I guess. They weren't anywhere near like Rodgers and Astaire, but they got their roles.
I like that you can kind of tell the cogs in Allison's mind are starting to turn a little bit. Starting to put some pieces together.
And then Allie asks what happens to Michael Wyatt in a panel where she looks like a man from the back when they're being served coffee
She really does there, yeah. It's
with a big, strong
that
jawline.
is a yeah, that's a masculine jawline there. And a thick, like, athletic neck too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And in case it wasn't clear, like, Michael Wyatt is so clearly Tatter Medallion at this point, Tatter Demalion at this point. There's no.
You have to know that
There's
this,
nobody else it could be, unless it's Rick Conti.
yeah, the unhinged behavior, out for revenge, thinking that just all the yeah, you keeping other superior singers and acts down. You kind of tell right away. It's like,
There's nobody else it could be.
okay, fella.
But so Ali asked whatever happened to him, and I guess they broke up their dance duo because she was fine doing the movies they were doing, but he wanted more and lasting fame. So I guess he tried to hack it on his own and couldn't, and then invested in a casino and then disappeared?
Yeah,
What?
she says that she looks for him, but she never found him. He just
What's with this casino backstory?
dropped off the map after. Yeah, I don't think you can really just drop off a map after buying a casino.
After his casino went under?
That sounds like, oh, okay. So, what, he got killed?
He got Ocean'd 11? Like,
Yeah.
I don't really understand what happened.
Is he in prison? What's going on here? But it's just, she
No,
just,
he's roaming
she.
the sewers with a chloroform hat.
Oh, he took that casino loss real hard.
Oh, see, apparently.
Like, yeah, did he go to prison? No, he went underground, literally.
Literally. It's such a weird story. But it ends with Julia leaving, and she and Allie are fine now. Like, I don't know why they ever really needed a rivalry because they're fine. This got resolved in the course of half an issue.
Yeah. I like how this page ended too, with Dazzler's intense, like angry, determined face.
She's so angry.
Just thinking about, oh man, would I ever end up like her? No, I wouldn't. Hey, that's kind of mean. She's not doing all that bad. She's
No,
playing
she's
piano at a club.
yeah,
She's
with her
doing all
long,
right.
long neck.
Yeah. She's like, no, I'm not gonna end up like that, no matter the odds. No one's gonna stop me. Damn, not even Tatterdemalion.
I feel like hands are to Frank Springer as necks are to Jeff Isherwood.
Here's some stumpy little paws.
But the necks, Jeff Isherwood can't draw necks.
Yeah, those are
Also, look two
stretchy.
panels back. Look at the bottom left panel. Look at what Allie looks like in that panel.
Though, like
The
the super strong
corner one
bone.
where Julia's standing up from the table.
Oh, on the other page. Yeah, that's a she's got a Plastic Man thing going on there.
It's real weird.
Yeah, her face is missing a lot of detail, so she looks like a dude in that one too.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, there's it's it just seems rushed. I'd chalk it up to that, 'cause like you were calling out before, it's not bad art. It just looks off in a lot of spots.
Yeah, there's certain things when you see it's hard to unsee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, we move on to nighttime and Allie's debut at Riley's Ace of Clubs club, and she's on stage singing, and check out Julia's arms as she's playing piano.
Oof. Yeah, she was drawn a little bit too far away from the piano, so they had to make it up with
With some
some
go-go gadget arms.
yeah. Yeah, each one of her forearms is at least 2 feet long. I mean,
It's so weird.
I think I have pretty long arms, but yeah, they're not that long.
Not like Jack Skellington.
This is Victor Wembanyama at the keys. It's
It's
incredible.
insane. And as Allie's singing her debut, belting it out, Tatterdemalion bursts in through the ceiling.
Crashes through the ceiling light, I guess. Yeah.
I'm a
But
little
there's no
confused where he
glass.
came from.
There's no glass, and it just
No.
your crash.
He just crashes through the ceiling next to the bar. There's plaster falling around him.
I couldn't hold back. I couldn't help but hold back a chuckle, like the narration. For some, the night is fragrant with hope. For others, it's rotten with doubt and desperation. No one seems to notice the stench of hate and fear. Until it's on them. And he
Enter Tatterdemalion.
crashes in. Awesome villain landing on
Yeah.
the bar. Thump.
I like that the bartender yells, "Holy!" And Tatterdemalion responds, "There's nothing holy in me, Cretan, nor in you and your l filthy money or liquor." Like, when did he become this upstanding moral stalwart?
Yeah, and what did he snatch out of this guy's hand? Was it a
I don't know.
cigar? He snatches something from a guy
I
and
know, I have no idea what that is.
sets it aflame. Some woman who was doing nothing to anyone gets her fur mink set on fire.
Yep, and then he just dives through a table.
Rick James kicks this table and splits it in half. What's this deal? He's on a rampage.
He's on a rampage. Some security guards spring into action, and Tatterdemalion fights back with his weighted scarf ends.
What?
So I just want to reassess Tatterdemalion. He's running around
No, no, no.
LA.
Repeat that weapon. It's
Yeah,
one time's not good enough.
He's
It's
just
like
whipping his
no.
scarf at them with its weighted ends.
You heard correctly. He has a weighted scarf.
So Tatterdemalion is what, just running around LA with these fire gloves, a chloroform hat, and 30 pounds wrapped around his neck?
I'm not even sure if it's the gloves or if he has powers. We
It's
never
really
get
hard to tell.
clarification on
No,
it.
we do not. Not at all.
Ah, the bully boys, by all means, make it rough.
But like,
This dude's
how much weight does he have around his neck at all times?
enough to knock out these two burly guards. Yeah,
It's insane.
either that or they have glass jaws. Because yeah, they're down one strike each with a weighted blow from
With
his
this weighted scarf ends.
Hey.
And so then he runs up to Julia on the piano and starts shouting at the woman who dared defy him.
Yeah, he hesitates here. And at that moment, I guess Rich, or I can't remember his name,
Rick
he comes up.
Conti.
Yeah. You aren't allowed up here. Get off.
Yeah, like that's gonna work. What are you talking about? This is clearly an enraged homeless man.
He just knocked out your security. He burnt a woman's fur.
I shouldn't even say enraged homeless man. A calculated enraged homeless man. He burst in through the ceiling.
He drop kicked through one of your tables. It's like, hey, stop that. Stop that, sir.
Yeah, he just stares Rick down, and Rick again has a Gumby neck and goes like, oh, okay, well, I'm out of here.
Quickest back down in a while. Super quick back down. And then he turns his attention to Allison. You're out of tricks and champions, woman. Okay. I think calling Rick the champion was a little generous, but okay.
Love it.
Thrice
I warned you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thrice.
Again,
you
thrice.
Chose to embrace it.
He can't see. Maybe he has cataracts.
Also, he used thrice twice in a row, which is fantastic. Who talks like this?
Numbers mean nothing to the Tatterdemalion.
Thrice we have spoken. No, we have not. We have not spoken thrice.
Yeah, this is the only second time you've talked to Allison. The first time, it was the third time, too, though. So, I mean,
I don't know what his plan was either, because he just yells, "Now, woman, corruption embraces you." Is he corruption? Is the embrace his fire touch? Like, what's he talking about?
I guess it's his touch.
I don't know what he's talking about.
But I mean, he's more, again, he has all the hallmarks of a Scooby-Doo villain, just chasing people off.
Sure.
So that seems like that
That's
was his
true.
end
That
game.
is all Scooby-Doo villains
That
do.
seems like that was his end game here too, just chase people off.
Yeah, that's fair. You're right. You're
He doesn't
right.
Kill anybody. He's just,
nope.
Ooh.
And then Julia from the piano yells, "No, don't." And apparently Tatterdemalion can see faces now, because he turns and has a hint of recognition in his eyes.
Yeah, he hesitates here, clearly, and you can see it in his voice. They do a pretty good job of showing him when he's like, "You want this tart to go unpunished?" I also like his use of the word tart. I haven't heard that since
pretty good.
Since like some 1960s cartoons.
Pretty good. And then he just flees, shouting, "No, it wasn't supposed to be like this."
He has, like, I guess, like a full breakdown, and just Dazzler's thought bubble, again, right on point here. Just, what on earth? He's leaving.
He's leaving. So Allie notes that Julia seems fine, because, you know, nothing actually happened. And then she chases Tatterdemalion out to the back alley, and luckily the rock club, she says across the alley, but it's coming from the roof next door, which is also confusing. So the rock club is jamming, so she gets some sound and then does witchy hands in a weird panel that has powers never depicted like this again. And she blasts him with light.
Oh, she hoists him with her own petard. Isn't this a swell enough party for you, Tats? Call back from him calling out a swell party to her in the sewer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She remembers. She remembers.
She does remember.
I had to look up Romeo Void, too. Apparently, that was a band, I guess.
Oh, good to know.
I think the early 80s, but it was an English band. So apparently one of the writers was a big music head, which is fun.
Underground English rock scene.
Yeah, which is fun for appropriate for this series.
Yeah. So apparently this light, Tattered Damalion recovers quickly and starts charging at Allie and swinging his weighted scarf. But apparently the light knocked the weights off his scarf.
How do you not notice?
How did it happen?
Since you're so hungry for castigation, this dude's vocabulary is
it's insane.
fantastic. I like his speech patterns, but his sense of just touch is way off. Because if the weighted scarves were enough to knock out security guards, and he goes to swing it, it's
I love that
swinging
he's
an
just
actual
whipping a
scarf.
flap of fabric at Allie.
I'm swinging an actual scarf now. And then he doesn't notice until after the swing.
Oh no, it was just a scarf.
You broke my weapon.
So then Allie gets more music and blasts him again, and his hat flies off and he's bald and has a really creepy ring of hair around his head.
Yeah,
Hey,
he's
everybody
full.
going bald. It's fine if you keep like the hair ring, I guess, but don't grow it shoulder length.
Not the full mullet, you
It's
know?
a bad look.
Not the full mullet if you got nothing on top.
It is a bad look.
You can't go nothing on top party all around. That's just a weird look.
Nothing on top party all around.
Yeah.
So he's unconscious, I guess. So next thing we know, we cut to Julia's dressing room?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Allie walks in holding Tattered Damalion. And she rips off his mouth scarf, not the weighted one, just the one he keeps over his mouth. And Julia recognizes it's Michael. It's Michael Wyatt.
The old landscaper.
And he seems completely sane now.
Yeah, after the Scooby-Doo unveil, you know what? It's getting that hat knocked off. It's all those fumes, man.
The fumes went away and he came to his senses.
just gotta take that hat off every now and then and breathe, Michael. It's not good for you. It's not good
just
for your
breathe
health.
The air.
Just wearing that. He's been wearing what? That for years. He's been chloroforming. He's been poisoning himself for years.
Microdosing chloroform for
yeah.
20 years.
Just like, come on, dude. That's not good for you. And then we get this like little touching scene.
I love that Julia keeps calling Allie Dolores, that she never learned that that's an alias.
Yeah. Apparently, yeah, she doesn't watch the news. She's just not with it.
And then Michael, like, in a very sad, sad move, just hugs her lap.
Yeah, it's a very touching and, yeah, sad look. But they seem to make amends.
They seem to make amends.
He doesn't burn
Julia
her.
says they're going to go get him cleaned up, and Allie says she's not going to call the cops. Everything's fine now. The assaults weren't a problem. Oh, by the way, we glossed over it. His motivation was he thought Julia should be doing more than just playing piano. That's it. He just wanted her to be the star.
Mystery solved.
Yep. And yeah,
Didn't
and then
need Scooby, didn't need Daphne, didn't need Fred or Shaggy.
And everything's fine, I guess. I don't know. I haven't read Werewolf by Night number 9, where he was introduced, to see what other crimes he's committed, but all of the assaults in this, just, they're fine. Everything's fine. What a weird, weird issue.
Man, and we get one last shot of, I guess, Janet. Is she Allison's roommate now?
Yeah, I was so confused by this. We cut to, is this Allie's apartment building we're looking at as the sun is coming up? I don't know, because it doesn't look like Allie's apartment building.
Well, yeah, because she lives back at, doesn't she live like behind a home? Wasn't it like one of
But it
those
was one of
like
those
apartment?
buildings that had like a courtyard, like an outside.
I thought it
You
even looked
remember
like,
my old apartment on Inglewood? It
yeah, it
was
looked,
like that.
yeah, it looked like one of those where you would walk behind.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But then Janet's just in her kitchen, which is very confusing. I don't know if they're roommates. Janet never comes back again. So
Yeah, I mean,
Allie killed her after this.
she's got her dark hair back where it was brown earlier.
Yeah,
I
now it's black
mean,
again. And Janet goes on some diatribe about just like, well, everybody's got their problems, Allie. I didn't know if I could trust you once I learned you were a mutant. Because mutants, ew. But then I th started thinking about you, and you seem pretty cool. So mutants are fine, I guess. What is happening?
you know, some things you can keep to yourself, Janet.
What
You
is
know?
happening?
You don't have to say everything out loud. There's such thing as being too honest. You can keep some to yourself.
And then it ends with Allie just going, thanks. Life's just been extra rough lately. And life used to be such a swell party.
That's not go for it, but I mean, sure. If
Okay.
you want to steal the Deadly Hobo's catchphrase, fine.
It's so weird. And
I
then it just says next issue is Reunion, which is a weird title for the issue. Because I'm just gonna say it now. If you come back, because it's a weird one. Allie's friend is a computer now, and that's the reunion. That's what we get next week.
Yeah, it's no one we've met before,
No,
so
no one we've met. Allie's old high school friend is now a computer.
yeah. Oof, that one's a
And that's
trip
it.
too.
That's it for Tatterdemalion. I mean, he comes back in other comics,
But why?
but
He
also his name is, yeah, his story ended. But
got
apparently his name is Ar Arthur Arnold Paffenroth going forward, not Michael Wyatt.
Julia back. Why is he? I'm
I don't know.
oh
But
man.
after this, let's see. He pops up in two issues of Captain America, then a bunch of West Coast Avengers. Oh, he's got a whole arc in West Coast Avengers. A couple issues of Daredevil, some Thunderbolts, Marvel Zombies. Okay.
So he
Couple
got more
issues of
traction
Moon Knight.
than Johnny Guitar and Dr. Sex.
Oh, way more.
Huh.
Yeah, it's very confusing. I don't get Tatterdemalion other than
I
he's
don't.
fantastic and I love him and I want him and everything, but not only for ironic reasons.
I'm still I still don't know the origin of his, super fire touch powers.
Is it a power? Is it a glove? I don't know.
Yeah, is he like flame in that way where it's
Oh,
just a bunch of
flame.
paraphernalia? The weighted scarf, what's the story behind that, friend? That seems kind of dangerous too, wearing that around your neck if it's pretty heavy.
Do you have any other hobo clothing items modified for combat?
I mean, I feel like he's gotta have something.
He's got to. And also, if you're in a fight, why aren't you whipping off that hat and throwing it at people?
Maybe
It's
he's
soaked with chloroform.
Maybe he's got a hobo knife that he
I mean, he's got to have a hobo knife,
likes
but
to st
like,
stick people with on his hopping off trains.
does he like have boots that shoot sewer water? Like, what else can he have? I love this guy so much. Marvel, if you're listening, can I write like just a mini series about the backstory of Tattermedallion?
Please.
Tatterdemalion. I'll get the name right, I promise. I
Please.
also promise that I will read every one of his appearances to do research.
Please. That's just a good Friday night right there.
Yeah, we will. I'm gonna throw you in. We will write a, I don't know, 4 to 20 issue mini series on Tatterdemalion. Give us
Gladly.
20 issues.
Gladly.
20 seems like the right amount for this guy's story, right?
I mean, for an origin story, yes.
Origin.
Origin. I mean,
We'll go back.
yeah,
We'll
we can't.
read Werewolf by Night number 9 and see if there's an actual origin or if he just pops up as a crazy homeless guy with combat stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's good for an origin. You can't, a guy this deep cannot be limited to 20 issues,
So
but
whoever at Marvel is listening, and I
origin
know
fine.
you are, I know that we're running one of these major podcasts where the industry's listening. We would just get in touch. Get in touch. We'd love to write some Tatterdemalion.
It's popping. I mean people will read it.
He's my favorite bad guy in this whole series. Well,
It's
I don't know. There
incredible.
was a guy that got fireworked so hard that his hands blew off.
He's yeah, that was, oh man, there have been some gems
There really have been.
in the Dazzler the Dazzler Rogues Gallery.
The series. We're coming up at the end, and it's making me sad.
And I'm just glad it's fun again.
It is fun again. Oh, it was a slog for a minute there. It's fun again.
Yeah. But
It's gonna
man.
get good, and that's weird. I don't know if we're gonna be good at talking about good comics.
I mean, we'll have to find a way.
We'll figure it out because it does get good. Archie Goodwin, good writer. Who
Yeah.
knew? I mean, everybody. He's a comics legend.
But yeah, that was issue 36.
Issue 36.
Dazzler. Oh man, my face hurts.
Issue 36 of 42, I think. But also, we have an issue of Secret Wars 2 to cover. Because, yay, Secret Wars 2. Anyway, join us next week when Dazzler's friend is a computer. Sure. Until then, you can find us at dazzlerpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what we should be covering next. Or follow us on Instagram at dazzlerpodcast. We are posting fun things and trying to be witty about them. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not, but we give it a go.
Yeah, shoot any of those questions and comments. We'll read them when we do our recordings. And thanks for listening. Catch us out at all the usual spots, your Spotify, wherever you go to forget your podcasts, your Apple, whatever, iHeartRadio, all the fun spots.
If you're listening to us, you found us. Keep finding us there. We'll be there. And that's it. Until next week, go for it.